Life moves fast. A lot of us get to the end of our days and wonder, where did all the time go? We have jobs and homework and class and kids and bills to pay and marriages to steward and dogs to take on walks. Even with our days feeling so impossibly full, we still find a way to not get everything done. Life moves fast, and so do we. Following Jesus in the fast-paced culture we live can feel difficult most days. Most days we wonder, how can I possibly fit Jesus into all the craziness? A lot of times what we do is we make a list of all the things we're supposed to do. We turn following Jesus and the practices of the faith into just another box to check. But this is not the way Jesus intended it to be. You see, in our Western culture, learning has everything to do with information. We want to learn something so we can do well on a test. But in the Eastern culture where Jesus was, learning wasn't so focused on the learning itself, but learning was all about becoming somebody, or really becoming like the rabbi they were following. And the way they became like their rabbi is they just did everything their rabbi did. They talked like him, they ate with him, they walked with him. In fact, they walked so closely to him that they were just covered in his dust. Following Jesus isn't about how to do the practices the best, but more about who we are becoming as we practice them. We're not trying just to do the things like Jesus did, but we do the things he did so we can become like him. So how do we follow Jesus in this culture we live in? We practice living like our rabbi did. We start by practicing the way.
Good morning. Very in-depth introduction. I feel like I don't really need to tell you much else about my life, but my name is Josh Clark. Really glad to be here this morning. If you're wondering, wow, if my wife came here when she was at Harding, why isn't she here? She didn't have a bad experience. She's at a work conference. She was actually really bummed when she found out that I would be preaching here at Fellowship Searcy, and she couldn't make it. And it's also possible that maybe some of you know her little brother Alberto, who would play on the worship team and things of that nature. So I've been to Searcy before this, and I think it's really sweet to be back here, and just really glad to be a part of just the season you guys have been in, that you trust us here at Fellowship Bible Church to come and just talk about the Word with you all. So you guys have been in this series, right, Practicing the Way, and I get the privilege to kind of end that out today, and the whole point is we're trying to be more and more like Jesus, and that means you're going to have to live like Jesus and live his way, right? And so as Ben talked about last week, kind of a crazy thing with Ben is I met Ben about 3 or 4 years ago at Camp Barnabas, a special needs camp up in Purdy, Missouri, which is the most Missouri-sounding city I've ever heard of in my life. And so got to know Ben, and so I just got to listen to his voice for about another 2 minutes there, too, so that was good. It's like he's here with us. So, you know, Ben talked last week about many of the practices you've talked about can be more inward-focused, but just like last week in speaking of service, we're going outward in our practices. And so today we're going to talk about the practice of witness. And witness is not one of those things that you go, oh, that's a spiritual practice, witness. Most of us go to scripture reading or praying or even fasting or something along those lines. But as we talk about it today, as you'll see in practicing the way, much of what you have discussed this entire summer, it culminates in the practice of witness. And so I just want to take a moment. I always just give this moment because I really don't believe that I have enough good things to say. But I think the Lord does. And so I just want to take a moment and pray that the Lord would speak this morning. Would you bow your heads with me? Heavenly Father, God, you're so good. You're so worthy of our time. You're so worthy of us gathering together in a space like this to study your scriptures, to talk about what it might just look like to practice the way, live as you lived. And so I pray this morning, Lord, as we study your scriptures, as we talk about this practice of witness, Lord, everything that I say that is not of you, God, I pray that it would just waste away. We would forget them as we walk out these doors. But Lord, would you speak this morning, and everything that I do say that aligns with who you are and your scriptures, that brings us back to your life-transforming gospel. Would it root itself in us and transform us from the inside out? All for your glory, Lord. It's your name that I pray. Amen. So as was mentioned, I was born in Los Angeles, California, but I only lived there for a little bit growing up, and I've only recently traveled back there a couple of years ago to visit a good friend of mine who kind of ended up in Little Rock during COVID and ended up back in LA. He lives there and works there, and so went to go visit my friend Cole, and we went with a friend of mine as well named Michael, and so it was just the three of us hanging out in LA for a week. And I don't know about what kind of vacationer you are, but I feel like there's two like ends of the spectrum. And one of them is you're the kind of person that goes, give me the beach vacation where I'm doing nothing, and the most out there thing I'm going to do is maybe dinner tonight, you know? And some of you are already going, that's 100% me, and I wasn't on the beach enough this summer, right? Or maybe you're the other end of the spectrum, and you're the kind of person who wants to fill every waking, I mean, you got an itinerary, you are wanting to fill every waking moment with some type of activity. You're like, I'm not going to waste this time. I used PTO for this. I'm not going to waste any more time. I want to do everything I can. I'm probably somewhere in between myself, but I want to tell you who Michael is. Michael is the guy who wants to do something every single waking moment, and some of you are already exhausted hearing that. And I still cannot believe we let him, I mean, I'm serious, like every single thing. He's like, yeah, I think Cole would be like, you know, we could go surfing, and he goes, well, we were up till midnight last night. What time would we have to get up? 4 a.m? Yeah, I'm game. Sounds great. I'm like, it's vacation. It's vacation. At least sleep in, right? And I can't believe we let him convince us. He was like, dude, we could rent some bikes, and we could go on a 30-mile bike ride. I haven't been on a bike since I was 16. It was a horrible experience. I don't know why we let him convince us of that. We're like walking our bikes and he's like singing as he's riding his bike still. It was horrible. Anyways, one of his best ideas though was he was like, hey, there's a Clippers game tonight, LA Clippers game tonight, and they were playing against the Utah Jazz. And this was a big deal because it was game 6, Clippers were up, and if they won this game, they were actually going to advance to the Western Conference Finals for the first time in their team's history. And so we were like, yeah, I'll take some nosebleed seats for that. That sounds great. And I just want to make it clear, like I'm just a sports fan. I'm not a Clippers fan or anything like that. So we're just going to kind of go and cheer them on for the fun of it, right? And it looked like they were getting slaughtered. At the start of the second half, they were down 25 points. I'm like, man, I'm really glad we paid money for this. And then the most insane thing happened. The Clippers rallied. They actually posted the largest comeback victory by a team in a series clinching win over the last 25 seasons. And then they advanced to the Western Conference Finals for the first time in their 51-year team existence. Like, pretty incredible. And it was one of those things where, I don't know if you've ever been to a sporting event, but especially basketball, when there's a comeback going on and people are all in for it, it's the kind of thing where, like, a shot goes up and everybody kind of, like, takes it. You could feel the arena, like, take a breath. And then they would go in and everybody lost their mind every time it went in for the Clippers. And Cole and Michael and I, we left the stadium feeling like we were Clippers fans. I was like, I think I'll move here. Yeah, and I'll just be a Clippers fan. And because we had been there for this monumental moment, and we could not help but tell everyone after the trip. We were witnesses. And many of you have seen enough courtroom shows, more than you would like to admit, that you've probably heard of a witness, right? In terms of the scripture, though, what is a witness? And maybe it's somewhat similar. In the Bible, a witness is basically someone who sees something important or amazing. This idea is throughout the scripture as one who begins to share what they've seen. We call this bearing witness. And throughout the Bible, we see that God wants a group of witnesses, people who have seen and experienced him, to represent him or bear witness of him to the world. And we actually see this starting out in Exodus, where the people of Israel, they witness God as powerful and their rescuer from slavery. And then he appoints them to witness to the rest of the nations about what they experience. And this is in Exodus 19, 4 through 6, says this: you yourselves have seen what I did to the Egyptians, and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now, therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, you shall be my treasured possession among all peoples, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words that you shall speak to the people of Israel. An important aspect of these verses that maybe you noticed here, and why we're getting to the heart of maybe what a witness is as we talk about witnessing or bearing witness, is that being a witness, it's not just a practice, it's an identity. They are a kingdom of priests and a holy nation, and out of that identity, they point to their God. Well, eventually, the greatest witness actually comes to earth, and that is the Messiah, Jesus. He's the ultimate witness, or in Greek, it's actually this word, the martis. He is the image of the invisible God, right? And as many crowds of people witness him saying that he is bringing God's kingdom, he comes and says, the kingdom of God is at hand. I mean, they even see it through his healings and his miracles throughout his ministry. He's giving them a picture of God the Father. But many refused to see what he was witnessing to, and Jesus would be killed for bearing witness to God's kingdom. Or in other words, he was killed for being a martis, which is actually where the word martyr comes from. Many of us know that that isn't the end of the story, right? Jesus would resurrect from the dead, and Jesus' friends would see him alive again. And this further proved to them that Jesus was, in fact, God himself who had come to rescue the world. And that actually brings us to this verse that was read before, right? Jesus is about to ascend. It's the last thing he says to his friends, to his disciples. Acts 1:8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Jesus, right before he ascends, sends out these witnesses to go and witness to the nations. By the power of the Holy Spirit inside them, they would go to open the eyes of others to the God of the universe who has conquered death and who has come to rescue the lost and restore creation back to himself. That is the basis for being a witness as followers of Jesus. You see, it's important to see the scriptural basis for being a witness, but to also recognize that this story of Jesus has been spread throughout the world and throughout generations by faithful witnesses. We are sitting here today on the shoulders of faithful witnesses. I want to ask you a question, though. Are you a witness to the risen King, to Jesus Christ? And if so, how? You may struggle with that kind of last add-on question. How am I a witness? I mean, where do I start? Maybe you think of a time this week you were just reading his scriptures. You were praying to God. You were surrounded by the people of God like this. Maybe it was just a sunset that just reminded you of him. Oh my gosh, this great creator that I worship and know. I mean, too many ways to count. But before we move on, I want to acknowledge maybe a group in the room that's a little discouraged. We're going to talk a lot about what it looks like to witness, and maybe you're going, I can't remember the last time I feel like I knew he was with me. It feels like God isn't even there. I know I'm following him. I walk around and I hear how people seem to be talking about how he's moving in their life, and I'm sitting here going, I can't remember the last time I prayed to him and felt like he was present. You read the scriptures, it feels like homework rather than the word of a living God. You hear others talk about how God is moving, you're wondering why you don't see him moving around you. And I just want to say, before we even talk about this witness thing, I just want to encourage you because I just want you know, I've been there so many times, too many times to count. And maybe these people that you see who continue to experience him here and now, they've been there too. And so I want to encourage you and give you a little bit of directive. When you're in that place, what do? Throughout the scriptures, over and over again, we see a reminder to look back, to remember. look back to the moment you knew Jesus was Lord. You started following him. Or maybe the time where there was no other explanation other than the Lord. I just want to remind you that our God is consistent. He's constant. He's faithful. Even when we cannot see him, he has not forgotten you. And so maybe you're questioning it right now, but I will remind you that you're a witness. So if you're a follower of Jesus in here, you are a witness to the good news of Jesus Christ. But I want you to catch something that's hiding in Acts 1:8. I mentioned this in passing, but the word witness in the New Testament is our translation of the Greek term from which we get the English word martyr. And maybe you've never known that before. That was new for me when I heard it for the first time. You're telling me being a witness is similar to being a martyr. So when Jesus is saying, you will be my witnesses, I want you to catch the levity of this. Jesus' followers were asked to lay down their lives to tell the story of Jesus. That's the call that is to them. Hey, go and be my witnesses. Lay down your life to tell the story, to tell the good news. You see, this is not a call to simply attach Christian as a label to your life. This is not a, hey, when you get the chance and it fits into the other plans for your life. This is a call to put your life down, pick up your cross daily, deny yourself for the sake of bearing witness to the good news of Jesus Christ. We're about to get to the part of how we might do this, believe me, but I want you to really do some examination here. Not for my sake, for the scripture's sake. If you are a witness of the good news of Jesus Christ, when people walk away from you, have they seen Jesus or a bunch of other things mixed in? Will people walk away from you going, yeah, they're just like the other Christians I know who are nothing like the Jesus they preach? Will they say, man, they are passionate about their denomination, about their church, about their ministry, but where's Jesus? Or are they more concerned about a political candidate or for the love? I mean, the Razorbacks, they're coming back this year, right? Or would our life scream to others as someone who has witnessed extravagant grace and goodness and love of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Before we even talk about the practical, we have to recognize if we do not die to ourselves daily, we cannot effectively bear witness because we will attach these other things to our life that is supposed to be surrendered over completely to Jesus. As Acts 1:8 would tell us, we have been empowered by the Holy Spirit to go and be witnesses to the nations. And so now we get to the million-dollar question. Okay, great. How? How do I witness? How do I go about bearing witness? Well, we want to practice the way, right? Well, we need to talk about how to make rhythms out of bearing witness. Otherwise, more than likely, by not making this a regular pattern in our life, by not intentionally weaving this into our day-to-day, we will miss this being a part of our faith. And so I have three ways we are to go about bearing witness. We are to live it, show it, and speak it. And so I'll start off. Start with living it. And I want to start off with a question. If we didn't have anyone to witness to, would we still be a witness? If there was no one to witness to, would we still be a witness? Remember that we said witness is not just a practice, but is in fact an identity, correct? And in being a witness, you are not just doing different things to witness to other people, but you are different because you are a witness. You may have just heard me name the three ways to witness and heard me say, okay, you got live it, show it, and speak it. And you're kind of wondering, okay, what's the difference between live it and show it? Because most of the time when we think of living it, we think of it as an outward expression, correct? And I want you to think of living it as a personal devotion to the Lord. What you are doing that is shaping who you are. Since we have witnessed who God is, that should affect who we are or our perspective. There's a Honduran place near my house. It's called El Sur in downtown Little Rock. And just eating that food has changed how I view Honduran food. Believe me, go there too much. Maybe you've been around someone like a friend or even a family member, and just being around them, growing up around them, has changed how you view the world or who you are. You point to them as a reason that you view the world in the way you do or have certain values. That is not an outward action that you may be able to measure or quantify, but there's a change in you. You see, witnesses of Jesus through the power of the Holy Spirit carry the fruit of the Spirit. Witnesses are going to have the character of love and joy and peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, Galatians 5, right? Witnesses are going to have a heart like Jesus who cares about certain things, holds certain values. Now, all this fruit in a heart like Jesus is indeed lived out in certain actions, which we're going to get to, but as a witness, you must ask, are you doing this witness thing or are you living this witness thing? It's an identity, correct? Because just doing the witness thing without living it, it actually makes you out to be a false witness. That may sound confusing to you, so think of this illustration with me, okay? Back to the idea of like a courtroom witness. It's actually possible to be a false witness. You may give a testimony, and it may be convincing, but if you weren't actually there at the scene of the crime, then you are bearing witness to something you did not live. You are effectively a false witness. Not because you may be false in your testimony, the person you are condemning through your testimony may be guilty, but because you did not live it yourself, you are bearing false witness. You see, it is actually possible to live a life that looks like that of a witness, but you are bearing witness to something you have never lived. How many of us have lived a life trying so hard to do the Christian thing, but we don't even know him? We don't know Jesus. We want to live as witnesses that have a heart like Jesus and character from the Spirit. Everything else will go from there in order to faithfully witness. So how do you get there? Ruminate in the good news. Let the Scriptures and the Spirit of the living God inside you evaluate if you are living faithfully to what the Lord has called all of us to. And then be changed more and more into the image of Christ as he is the model of perfect faithfulness. Where all of the other practices that have been talked about throughout this series come together is by making rhythms out of not neglecting to meet together and fasting and all of those things you will find yourself to be growing as a witness. We have to start here in how we witness because all of what we do externally is going to come from character inside of us. It's going to come from our hearts. I don't know if this has ever happened to you or not, but I've watched a sporting event like a soccer game, for example. I've been watching like the Olympics, and shout out to the women's team, men's team, maybe, you know, 4 years from now, I guess. And when they talk about the game, when maybe I've watched it with some friends, and when we talk about the game later, I've ended up asking questions like this. Were we even watching the same game? Like, no, I think they had a good game. I was like, that was horrific. I don't know what you're talking about. It feels like they're not being a faithful witness to what is the truest experience of the game. And many of us have seen and experienced or heard of unfaithful witnesses to Jesus and the gospel, and it is rooted in hearts that are not aligned with that of the Lord. People who aren't living it. And in aligning our hearts, our character with that of the Lord, we will actually start to see that influence what we do and how faithfully we are witnessing to the good news of Jesus. And so how do we witness? First and foremost, we've got to live it. Second, we have to show it. Now, to delineate showing it from living it, if living it is a personal devotion to the Lord, affecting who you are, then showing it is an outward expression in action towards others of the good news of Jesus Christ. Outward expression in action toward others of the good news of Jesus Christ. Many of us think of being a witness primarily through this lens. And it makes sense. Doing things for others and to others, like what Jesus did, will indeed give people a picture of Jesus. Now, many of us cannot go die on a cross for others, but there's still so much we can do for and toward others to give just a glimpse of Jesus. Maybe you go out of your way to serve your neighbor. You make it a point to seek out your coworker to connect with them in a caring and real way outside of just talking work. You find a way to serve those in the community who are in need of real help. But it isn't just these set apart, I'm going to show the love of Jesus moments. And sometimes I feel like we minimize showing it just to those things, the events that we set up to go and serve. And those are great because we're being intentional about that. But it's not just that. Many of those are sacrificial, and that's wonderful. But showing the good news of Jesus is also in making sure to encourage those around you whenever you get the chance to build them up. It's refusing to join in gossip and dissension, not joining in on degrading, dehumanizing talk about another human being. It is giving people the time of day rather than acting like they're an inconvenience to your schedule. It's forgiving people and repenting when you've wronged someone. You see, it's in the big and the small that we show it, because all of those outward expressions towards others can give a glimpse of how Jesus would move toward others and love others and give grace to others. But this needs to be built into our daily lives. We need to be thinking on how we can show it consistently. And the two natural obstacles in the way of this being a normal practice, and similar to what we just talked about in your life, are values that don't line up with Jesus. And then the other is the one that maybe all of us are thinking about, and it's time. And look, I know this more than I would like to admit. I've been getting an online master's for the past 3 years, and so much of my day is getting tasks done and doing homework and all of those things, and it restricts me a lot in my time. And I don't know about you, and maybe you're in a season similar to this. I'm just tired of people asking me how I'm doing, and I respond with, busy. It feels so diminishing. But I still need to make room in my life to show the good news of Jesus in an intentional way. My wife and I have had to go about saying no to fun and great things because we want our regular rhythms to include times where we can be a witness to the good news of Jesus. And believe me, we don't always do it well. Remember what this call of being a witness means. It is a put your life on the altar to be my witness. Some of us are struggling to show the good news of Jesus to our families through intentional conversation because we can't get off our phones. Maybe we just need to implement giving attention to those around us. We have to make conscious decisions to show Jesus. And it might just be that people you have been hoping would give Jesus a chance may hear you in light of the witness you have truly shown by love towards them. So, how do we witness? Live it, show it, and third, speak it. The crazy thing about being a witness to the good news and of the gospel of Jesus Christ is that everyone is talking and sharing some sort of good news. It's the good news of their favorite restaurant. I mean, you literally just heard me brag about a restaurant that you guys will probably never go to. It's the next life hack. It's self-belief. Or that you should get a few investment properties to secure your wealth, which that's always great advice for those that can afford a few investment properties to secure their wealth. Why do we treat sharing our good news so differently? We love the idea of showing the good news of the gospel. We love the idea of showing the good news for many reasons. But I wonder, if I can be honest, one of the reasons I prefer showing the good news is because it can be a little bit more covert in our world. It's not as in your face, you know? It's more than likely going to be celebrated to love sacrificially today, right? No one is going to look at that like it's a bad thing. I can't believe you did that for them, giving up your own and valuing them above yourself. No one's going to be that upset about that. So I can continue to show the good news of the gospel, but without speaking it out, it might just look like many others today that are loving sacrificially because they see that in itself as a good thing. I know plenty of people that do not know Jesus that love people incredibly well, and you do too. And I get that sharing our good news as witnesses of Jesus Christ is different than just talking about your favorite restaurant. I understand that. It has so many implications on everything in our life and what we value, and in many ways, it may be offensive to those who do not believe because it's going to ask of things of us to change, and it's going to tell us that things that we are doing is not right or good. But we have got to have the boldness to speak it out for others to hear because it is not just other good news on the same level of self-belief. It is the best news that speaks to the groaning of all creation, longing for rescue, as Romans says. And there's actually a story found in Acts 3 and 4. Peter and John, they come across this lame beggar. who actually asked them for money, and they end up healing him. And this actually leads to many gathering around Peter and John where they take the opportunity to preach about the resurrection of Christ. Well, Peter and John are actually arrested because such a commotion is built about, and they're put before the Jewish high court, which is known as the Sanhedrin. Well, they did not know what to accuse them of. This court has brought Peter and John before them, and they're like, well, I mean, like, it's a good thing he healed a man. They really aren't a fan of the fact that they're preaching the resurrection of Christ, but I mean, they go, so what? By what name are you preaching, and by what name did you heal this beggar? And the response is to preach Jesus again. We gotta stop asking them questions. They're gonna keep preaching Jesus. Well, the council cannot deny that the man had been healed. They can't take that back. This is a man that people had seen time and time again going across this same place. They can't deny that he's been healed. And also, it's a good thing. And so, just so there's not as much commotion, they go, okay, well, Peter and John, you can't speak to people in Jesus' name anymore. That's their response. And this is where we get a response from Peter and John that should help us in the foundation we should have on telling the people the good news. Acts 4, 19 through 20. But Peter and John answered them, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you rather than to God, you must judge. For we cannot but speak of what we have seen and heard. A little tongue-in-cheek here from Peter and John. They're like, okay, you let me know if I'm supposed to listen to the Lord or you. But the approach they have, which we must adopt as witnesses as well, is we cannot help but speak of what we have seen and heard. Jesus is so good, and I've experienced him in such a real way that I have to tell people. Peter and John literally walked on the earth with Jesus. How crazy is it that they're being asked not to tell people about it? What, do you want me to lie? I walked with him. I saw that he truly was who he said he was. I saw him perform miracles that I can't explain any other way. Are we operating the same way? You all have had experiences with the Lord God that you can't deny. And are you approaching it in the same way, going, I can't help it. I can't help but speak of what I've seen and heard. And so if it's so important for us to speak it out, how do we actually go about doing that in a world full of good news? Just be honest about what you've witnessed. Don't lie. Just be honest about what you've witnessed. Start with what you know, how Jesus became real to you, how you have seen his faithfulness in your life, how you have maybe heard his still small voice guiding you, how he has provided for you far too often to write it off as coincidence or luck or good karma. And here is my personal ask. I did not grow up in the church most of my life, and I'm quite the skeptic. And I continue to run into skeptics. Also share where you've doubted before. If you've messed up while holding to the gospel. When somebody asks you about your faith, don't put on a smile and act like, to be honest with you, the Lord's really convicting of me of some things, and I don't really know if I'm aligning up with him right now. To be honest with you, I'm reading the scriptures right now, and there's parts of it that are hard. But I still hold to him. Do you know how powerful that is? It's also very honest and real. We get scared to be that honest. But speak about it, because that is part of your witness. And you still share it even in the midst of those imperfections because of your love for Jesus. And those imperfections we might hold back from sharing just might cause those who would hear you to relax their shoulders a little bit. Just to know that that good news is for their imperfect selves as well. They don't have to clean it up before they come to him. And when the opportunity comes, share much more than the personal aspect, but share the grander story of the gospel that is much greater than all of us here. The sin is so very real in our world. The Savior who would step into our broken world to come near, who would take the death we deserve for the forgiveness of our sins, who would beat death and give weight to resurrection, and how God will restore all of creation back to himself in his fully realized kingdom. That is good news. You are retelling a story that reflects the reality of our world. It is more real than what we consider normal here. Let's stop treating it like it's a myth that's worth believing in. It is more real than what we experience day to day. And it has remained true for much longer than you have ever known the story. It is good news, so go and tell it. Now you may be wondering, how do I make speaking about Jesus like a practice, like a rhythm in my life? I don't know if it means you have to bring up Jesus in every conversation necessarily. To be honest with you, sometimes that's really uncomfortable for everybody involved. But maybe it is once a week that you would be intentional to speak Jesus. I actually heard we just sang a little bit of How Great Our God Is. How Great Is Our God, that song. I was listening to a podcast recently of one of the people that was, he toured with Chris Tomlin for a long time and had a hand in writing that song. Well, he also wrote another song called I Speak Jesus, and maybe you've heard it before. It's another worship song. And that song was actually written out of the story I just mentioned from Acts, in Acts 3 and 4. And out of his church community that would make it their mission, they would check in every Sunday. Hey, how'd you speak Jesus this week? It's easy to glide by without speaking his name, but we have the best news to go and speak it. We have such an opportunity, and we make it a rhythm in some way, shape, or form just to speak Jesus. And so those are the three ways we go about bearing witness. Live it, show it, speak it. I want you to hear this, though. Don't pick your favorite one and just stick to that. I think that would be a miss. We need to be doing all of these in order to faithfully witness. Like, imagine if you only showed it and you spoke it, but you didn't live it. Well, your heart and character could not keep up with your words and actions. They would be hollow without the foundation of devotion to the Lord. Living it and showing it without speaking it will simply bring about the blending in that is so common, where many people are doing good things and have a great heart, but no one is seeing that. It's because of Jesus. Living it and speaking it without showing it, it wouldn't work, as many would wonder why you talk a big game and you never miss a Bible study, but you don't treat people like Jesus would. We have to do all of these things because we want to bear witness in the most faithful, complete way in order that people would see Jesus. Our worship team can come back up here. I want to close by bringing up two people in my life. One guy, his name is Drew Williams. Drew Williams was the reason I started following Jesus. Drew was actually not an adult in my life. When I first started coming to church, he was actually my age. Eighth grade, freshman. And when I started going to church, Drew was the guy that lived like Jesus, showed me Jesus. And he talked about him all the time. I mean, passionate about the scriptures, preached the gospel to me over and over again. And man, you just wanted to be like Drew because he was following after Jesus. Kind of that whole idea of Paul going, hey, follow after me as I follow after Jesus. When I had no faith whatsoever, I was not following Jesus, he was a witness to the good news. I've got another person for you, Tim Caldwell. He's actually the campus pastor at Fellowship Midtown. Tim Caldwell is the reason I'm still in ministry. When I felt burnt out in 2021, man, I'll just make a small plug. Pray for your pastors. Pray for your pastors. I can only imagine what they might have gone through because I've been through some things as well in my role. When I felt burnt out in 2021, as we were down to half of our staff, people are leaving our church left, right, and sideways because of all the different polarization that's going on in our church community. We're doing way more than we have capacity for. And Tim is having the worst year of his life. He'll tell you. He lost his mother and his brother in the same year, all while everything else is going on. And in that time, we would have probably given a little bit of, you know, flexibility to Tim. Yeah, he's a little bitter today, but I mean, come on. It's been through a lot. in the midst of that season, Tim still lived like Jesus, showed me Jesus, and he constantly reminded me who Jesus was. When it felt like I could not find Jesus, and I knew I was following him, he was a witness to the good news. You are witnessing to those with no relationship with Jesus at all, and you are witnessing to the ones who call themselves Christians that God really is worth that further obedience, that he's worth holding on to when everything around us is convincing us that he's not. We have the best news, and so we should go out of here, not out of obligation, but because we can't help it, to live it, to show it, to speak it of the good news of Jesus Christ. And what a privilege it is. What a privilege it is to point to Jesus, to be a witness and bear witness to him. I just want to pray for you guys. Would you bow your heads? Heavenly Father God, you are so good. Wow, what a privilege it is that you would look at a group of people and you would leave and you say, I'm going to empower you to be witnesses to my name, to the nations. That charge is for us today. So many of us in here can think of that moment where you've changed everything. So many of us can see those moments where we knew that you were at work in our life. Maybe you led us somewhere that we didn't think was the right place at all, and yet you provided the entire way. You were the comfort when we had nothing else. And maybe some of us in here are just trying to remember, trying to look back and remind ourselves of your faithfulness and that you're still very much with us. Pray, Lord, first and foremost, would you encourage our hearts and bring us back to you? Would you remind us that you haven't changed whatsoever and you're always with us, even when we can't see it, even when we're blinded to it? And God, I ask for those in here that are witnesses, that we couldn't help it, that we can't walk out of this building without just speaking and showing and living as a witness. Bearing witness to the good news. Would you find us faithful, God? Would you find us faithful to witness to a holy and wonderful and loving God? We love you, Jesus. You're worthy of our worship. It's your name that I pray. Amen.